Hello there, we're in the World House, House of the Rock and Nuhu. Understand that God does and speaks through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's a privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. People whose God is awesome, don't clap the way you just clapped. Except the definition of awesome is different. Those who have a God who is awesome, there's a way they celebrate their awesome God. Come on, go ahead and love on your God this night. Hallelujah. 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 Can you reach out on your left and right and just greet someone? Make them feel welcome. Tell them thank you for making our time to be here tonight in spite of a crazy day, very busy day. Thank you. Hallelujah. Are you ready, somebody? I can hear you. Are you ready? Are you truly, really ready tonight? Lift up your two hands.
You are good. You are kind.
You are more than these. Lost for words, trying to describe you. Elohim, Elion, El Shaddai. Your greatness is all I see. There is nothing you cannot do. There's no mountain you cannot move. If you have said it, then you will do it. You have a track record of keeping your word. Shepherd,
yeah.
All the
Sure, your God is mighty.
Yeah.
Come on, are you sure your God is mighty?
Yes, sir.
Tonight, I want you to believe God tonight that there's something that's going to happen to you and you will not leave this place the same way you came. Did I hear an amen? If you really, really do believe your God is mighty, I want you to believe God for a visitation, an impartation, a touch tonight. That situation with which you came will not go back with you in Jesus' name. Can I hear you believing? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, City of David. Please help me celebrate City of David as they return back to their seats. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready tonight? Come on, are you ready tonight? Are you truly, truly ready tonight? All right. Welcome. A school of spirit, and all of you worshiping online, we love you, and we love you, and we celebrate you, and thank you for the access. Romans 5:17. We're going to do this quickly and get out of your face. Saturday's prayer meeting is very pivotal, and if you can, I'm going to ask you to make it, because everything I'm sharing tonight, we're going to be dealing with in the place of prayer on Saturday morning. Saturday morning is going to be very intense. I'm going to be dealing with foundational issues in families. I'm going to be getting into roots. I'm going to be digging up stuff. And we're going to be doing things that will affect you, not just you, but affect your family very positively. So if you can, Saturday morning, join me, 7 a.m. We're going to dig it out here in the presence of the Lord. And because it's our first, is it the first Saturday of the month? Okay, we have to move that first Saturday itinerary. Since it's always a sanitation, we have to change it. You understand what I'm talking about? We have to change it to another Saturday of the month because every first Saturday now has become sanitation. Am I right? Is it last Saturday? Okay, it's last Saturday. Okay. All right. Praise God. Are you ready now? Please talk to me. Are you ready now? So, Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. Everybody to go. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Let's take that reading again, please, for the last time. To go. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which have received the abundance of grace and the gifts of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. How many of you are ready to reign in life? Okay, let's put down your hands. How many of you want to manage life? How many of you just want to be survivors in life? Now, is there anybody that really wants to reign in life in this place? Okay, if you are the one, I want you to put that and up. Say after me, say, Heavenly Father, for the rest of my life, I refuse to manage. I refuse to get by. I refuse to merely get along. I refuse to just be there. I shall reign in life. So I shall reign financially. I will reign spiritually. I will reign materially. I shall reign maritally. I shall reign in every area of my life because this is what Christ came for. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. Speak to our hearts and Jesus, and let Jesus be magnified in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I can't hear your amen. Amen. Sit down, but don't go down. Hallelujah. I'd like to just quickly acknowledge worshiping with us this evening. Is the former CSO of HOTR Abuja, and who is visiting with us tonight. Please help me recognize our brother Uchena Chukwumerije. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you for making it tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you ready tonight? Talk to me. Are you ready tonight? Do you have my slides? Do you have the slides? Okay, you're still working on. You're still trying to put them together. Let me know when they're ready. Just let me know when they're ready, okay? Amen. Come on, talk to me. I said amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the will of God for us to reign. And every time the word reign is mentioned, you are thinking about kings. Am I correct? You are thinking about authority. You are thinking about position. And that exactly is the will of God. It is God's desire for us to reign. On Sunday, I'm introducing today, but from Sunday all through the rest of the month, I'm going to be speaking on the subject matter, discharge and acquitted. Somebody say after me, discharge and acquitted. I said discharge and acquitted. That's all I'm going to be speaking about as we bring the month of Easter, the celebration of Calvary and all that he did in the cross, as we bring it, begin to wrap it up in the next 2 weeks. I'm going to be speaking on discharge and acquitted. Are you ready, somebody? Talk to me. Are you ready, somebody?
Yes,
all right. I like to say, it is finished is the cry of the cross. It is finished. But the cry of the resurrection is different. The cry of the resurrection is, all things are yours. I've paid for it all. How many of you have heard about fully paid, all expenses paid trip, something like that? Anybody heard about something like that? Okay, so there's something like an all expenses paid trip. There's something like fully paid for. So whilst it is finished is the cry of the cross, all things are yours is the cry of the resurrection. Gentlemen, I want you to look up here. You see, when God created man, ladies and gentlemen, God's desire was that man would carry out a twofold mission. Number one, and everybody please listen attentively. God had created a garden he called Eden. God's desire was that man will play that dual role of both priest and king. As priest, God's desire was that man would take what he saw in heaven, the prototype of heaven, and replicate it on earth and make earth look like a mini heaven. Is anybody hearing me? God's desire was that man would take the prototype in heaven and bring it on earth and, as it were, kingdom come on earth as priest. But as king, it was a bit different. God's desire was that man as king will exercise dominion over everything God had created. That man will have the ability to look at a tree and produce furnitures, beds, okay? Everything, paper, am I right? Paper, everything that can come out of a tree, medicine, everything that can come out of a tree. That if we look at leaves, they look like ordinary leaves, but out of that leaves will come forth all kinds of healing drugs. You know what I'm talking about? Medication for different kinds of issues and so on. The desire of God was that in the exercise of kingship, man was going to dominate everything God had created. Are you still with me? And God's desire was not just that Adam and Eve were going to do that in Eden, but that what was happening in Eden, as they began to multiply, will be replicated all across the earth. God's desire was that man was going to be his true representation on the earth. But the Bible told us, in the text we just read this morning, it says, by one man's trespass, death reigned throughout, through that one man, and the whole earth went into bondage. But the Bible now says, however, much more, those who have received the abundance of grace and the free gift of eternal life, or the gift of righteousness, the same people will reign in life, just as God had intended it, through one man, which is Christ Jesus. Amen. Listen to this. When Adam fell, God had a problem. The problem was that when Adam fell and disobeyed and ate the forbidden fruit, God was caught in between his law and his love for man. He was caught in between his law and his love for man. The law says the soul that sinneth shall do what? Shall die. And in the realm of the spirit, there's nothing like forgiveness. The soul that sinneth, that's the law. It must happen. It's because in the realm of the spirit, there's no such thing as forgiveness. That was why when Adam sinned, because Adam was living in time, he could be forgiven. But when Satan sinned, Satan could not be forgiven because he's spirit. And that's also another reason why God drove Adam out of the Garden of Eden out of love. Because if he had eaten the fruit of life, he would have been an eternal sinner. So God wanted a situation where Adam can not only be forgiven, but be redeemed back, be restored back. Be restored back to original state. That's why that word called repent. Everybody say repent. I can't hear you say repent. It's important we begin to understand repent as much more than forgiveness of sin. The word repent, actually in its very strict word, is not has nothing to do with forgiveness of sin. Even though that's the beginning to the pathway of repentance. Forgiveness is the beginning of repentance. But repentance actually speaks not only about a change of heart, but repentance actually speaks about restoration to the penthouse. Repentance really is, you used to be on top here, now you fell. And in repent, I am taking you from where you fell and bringing you back to the penthouse where you were always intended to be. Can I prophesy to somebody that at the end of this season of Easter, everywhere God intended you to be, everything God intended you to do, every place God intended for you to reign, you're going to return back there in the mighty name of Jesus. Every blessing God ordained at the back of time, everything that belonged to you from eternity, past, present, and future, I declare you walk in the fullness of them in the name of Jesus. Can I hear a louder amen, somebody? Let me hear a better amen, somebody. So, ladies and gentlemen, if God decides that he's going to kill man because the wages of sin is death, God has a problem. He's going to offend against the law of love, because the law of love says forgive. If God now says, I'm going to forgive man, God is going to offend against his own justice system that is set up in the realm of the spirit that says the soul that sinneth must die. So whichever way God turns, he was going to be in trouble. And as I speak of this, you'll remember the dilemma Jesus faced when they brought to him the woman caught in adultery. It was pretty much the same kind of dilemma. The Pharisees said, Moses said, anybody caught in adultery should be stoned to death. What do you have to say? Any answer Jesus gave would put him in trouble. If Jesus, for example, said, it is true, the soul that sinneth must die. She was caught in adultery, kill her. The same people will immediately pick up their phone and call the Roman police. Because at that time, Israel was under the Roman government. By Roman law, the man that is caught in adultery does not die. As a matter of fact, under Roman law, they don't even recognize that law. However, if Jesus had also said concerning the woman caught in adultery, if he had said, forgive her, they would say, this man cannot be a prophet. If he was a prophet, he will uphold the law of Moses. So, gentlemen, God was torn in between, what should I do? Do I show my love or do I respect my law? And when he looked at that dilemma, God decided to do one thing that will satisfy both the law of the soul that sinned shall die and also satisfy his love for man, which is forgiveness. God decided to become the sacrifice, the one that will eventually become the sacrifice that will die in the stead of man. So what did God do? God decided to reduce himself to a baby, given birth to by a virgin, came into the world for about 33 and a half years, and decided to go and die for man. And in dying for man, God was able to appease, number one, the law that says the soul that sinneth must die, but also his love that says, I don't want you to die, I want to forgive you. So the punishment man should have taken, God decided to take it. That was how he was able to satisfy both parties. And in doing that, the Bible says, he gave us what is called the gift of righteousness. Everybody say gift. I can't hear you say gift. Second Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 says, 2 Corinthians 15, 21. It says, let me just read it out for time's sake. It says, For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I want you to understand this. Righteousness, as far as the believer is concerned, has nothing to do with your works. Has nothing to do with whether you are right or whether you are wrong. It's 100% a gift. Everybody say gift. And by that gift, gentlemen, I want you to know you are righteous. Matter of fact, you're not just righteous, you're as righteous as Jesus. You have the same quality and intensity and the same composition of righteousness that Jesus has. You know, let me tell you how I knew I got born again. How I knew I was born again. I was in Lagos, invited me to Deeper Life Church. I got there, I gave my life to Christ. They preached for me at the bus stop, I gave my life. I went to church, Bro Kumi made an altar call, I gave my life a second time. I did all that. I was in a pursuit of admission in Unilag at the time. So, I did all that, and then I returned back to Warri and just went back for my normal service, my normal evening mass. And I got back to church that evening. Nobody told me anything. Now, I knew I was born again because I felt the peace of God. But there's a point I want to bring out. So, I returned back to Warri, and I just went for normal Sunday evening mass. And as I was there, they started praying a particular prayer about pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. And I wanted to repeat that prayer. And the Holy Ghost said, stop it. You're no longer a sinner. You're my righteousness. Ah. I said, no. I said, this is a normal. He said, don't ever repeat that prayer again. I'm inside the mass. Everybody's praying. They pray for us sinners. And I wanted to repeat the prayer again. He said, you are no longer a sinner. You are not my righteousness. That was when I knew I was born again. Well, I already knew I was born again, but that was the affirmation I knew that I was no longer a sinner. I had no business still confessing being a sinner, having given my life to Christ. I was now the righteousness of God. Can you put your hand on your chest if you are born again and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say, I call your name. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Please listen to this. This is very powerful because it's important you know that you are once you are saved, you are not a sinner. You may sin, but you're not a sinner. You may make mistakes, but you're not a sinner. Righteousness is so powerful, it's at the very foundation of our walk with God. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs to it and they are what? So please understand this. It's a gift. It was given to you as nothing to do. You contributed nothing to it. It had everything to do with what the Lord himself did for us. Can I hear a loud amen, somebody? Amen. I cannot hear your amen, somebody. Amen. And this is how Paul tried to explain to us what really happened to us. Don't forget, I'm dealing with discharge and acquitted. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. Romans 3. I need that scripture because it really says what. Everybody, please follow me. Are you still with me tonight? Talk to me. Are you still with me tonight? It says, but now, please understand this. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Now, please notice. There was a righteousness that reigned in the time of Moses. It was a righteousness that was born from obeying the law. And that righteousness was so high, the standard was so high, according to the word, if you offend in one, guess what? All the ones that you obey is canceled. By the way, God gave 10 commandments. The Pharisees developed 6,000 commandments out of it. And out of the 6,000 that they developed, if you mess up, if you did 5,999, and you failed in one, all the 599 that you obeyed is canceled. Is anybody still with me? But now, there was a new kind of righteousness the Bible is talking about. The Bible says, but now, the righteousness of God that is without the law is made manifest. Now, everybody watch this. As God was introducing it, it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. So, both the prophets and the law were watching. They were witnessing it. They say, wow, this is a new thing that is coming. Before now, to be righteous, you have to keep all the 6,000 laws. But here is a new type of righteousness that is without the law, apart from the law. Even the righteousness, which is by faith. In fact, if you read the TPT, it said this righteousness was prophesied about. I will get there very soon. Okay, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus, unto all. Unto how many? Unto how many? Upon how many? Upon how many? Look at the scripture on the board now. Even if you didn't pass YH, you can read this one. Am I correct? All right, let's take it again now. Now, unto how many? Upon how many? That do what? For guess what? The key to accessing that righteousness is belief. And the Bible said there's no discrimination. It comes upon all and it's for all. Now, the Bible now goes on to explain to us. It says, as far as God is concerned, when it comes to this righteousness, there's no difference. Look at it there. There's no difference. Why? Because all have been reckoned by God. All have sinned. Everybody that is on earth, as far as God is concerned, have sinned. Don't forget, one man disobeyed. All of us went into sin. Am I correct? And come short of the glory of God. Next verse, please. Next verse. It says, being justified. That word justified is the word discharged and acquitted. Discharged and acquitted. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Please notice, everything in this kingdom centers on Christ Jesus. Every blessing, every access, every benefit, anything that you will ever gain centers on one man. It is the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now verse 25. Give me in TPT. Give me 25 in TPT. I want to get that essence very clear in TPT. Maybe you begin from verse 24. From verse 24. TPT. I can't read what is up there. And all the screens are off. I don't know why the screens are not on. Okay, let me read from here. Verse 24. Okay, let me read from my notes, okay? Now, please listen to this. I'm looking for yet. It begins from yet, right? Okay, I've seen it. Please, everybody follow me. Yet, through his powerful declaration of acquittal. Have you seen the word acquitted? Have you seen the word acquittal? All right. Which is what King James calls justified. God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us. Us, all because Jesus, the anointed one, has liberated us from the guilt, the punishment, and the power of sin. Is there anybody here who is liberated from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, and the punishment of sin? Come on, talk to me, somebody. He said you have been liberated from the power, the punishment, and the guilt of sin. It says God-given destiny was to be the sacrifice to take away sins. And now is our mercy seat. Is our mercy seat. Because of his death on the cross, we come to him for mercy. For God has made a provision for us to be forgiven by faith in the sacred blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, this is where I'm going to. He said, this is the perfect demonstration of God's justice. Because until now, he had been so patient, holding back his justice out of his tolerance for us. So guess what? He covered over the sins of those who live prior to Jesus' sacrifice. Everybody look up here. Back in the Old Testament, are you still with me, somebody? I can't hear you. Are you still with me, somebody? Now, back in the Old Testament, this is what happens. When you commit sin, are you still there, somebody? Talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? And you want God to forgive your sin. You do what they call atonement. You take a goat and you locate the priest. When you get to the priest, gentlemen, can I have a goat and a sinner? Pastor Obi, you are the sinner. The goat must be a small person. Please come. Young man, come. And I didn't say you look like a goat. I'm just using for demonstration. Oh my God, anybody has a belt that I can use around? Just to explain it, okay? Man of God, you are the goat. Can you kneel down on all fours? Eh? This is your goat, on all fours, on all fours. Thank you, sir. Oh God, this is your belt, Bigo. Looks like something meant for dogs. Man of God, you will hold your goat. Goats, just be moving around with the goats. Just a bit of movement around. You are coming to the priest, you know what I'm talking about. You are the sinner. Just go around like this and come to me. Now, gentlemen, this man has sinned. And now he's looking for the priest for atonement. And he comes to me. Please, can you bring your goat this way? All right. Now, he brings the goat to me. And guess what? When he comes to me, I have to inspect. Now, I am not inspecting him. He's the one who sinned. But guess what? The goat he's bringing must be a goat that does not have blemish. If this goat is blind, or this goat has K-leg, or something is wrong with this goat, I will reject it. So guess what? He has sinned. But who am I inspecting? I'm inspecting his goat. I finish inspecting the goat. I don't like this part of... In fact... Are you still there, somebody? When I finish the inspection, I now certify this goat worthy for the atonement for his sin. Now, this is the next thing I ask him to do. Put your two hands on the head of the goat. He places his two hands on the head of his goat. Begin to confess your sins. Confess your sins. The lie, you lied. The other time you stole, confess it. He's confessing all his sin. When he's done confessing his sin on the head of the goat, ladies and gentlemen, he hands over the rope to me. And he goes home. Please start going home. You have finished confessing your sins. He hands over these goats to me. I hold his goats. And guess what? I slaughter this goat on his behalf. Guess what? Please understand this. He has been discharged. Okay? But under the Old Testament, he's not acquitted. Why? Because the best that this goat's blood can do is to do what they call atone, cover the sin. It doesn't wipe away the sin. But when Jesus came, ladies and gentlemen, and he shed his own blood, he totally discharged and acquitted. That sin is completely wiped away and is erased away with no memory of it any longer. Did I ask these goats to go? My friend, good. Praise God. Are you still there? Gentlemen, this is exactly the report Isaiah was talking about. When Isaiah said, who has believed our report? To whom is the harm of the Lord revealed? He said, please give me Isaiah 53. He says, for it shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Please follow me. Isaiah was reporting. He said, this is a report that nobody can believe. He said, who has believed this report? Now, this report looks so simple because all that God wants you to do is believe. Believe. Religion wants you to do something hard for you to be accepted. Religion says you must kill, you must offer sacrifice, you must do something big. So this report is difficult because all it says is belief, and that is it. Guess what? Isaiah said, who has believed our report? And then he said, for it shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. I explained to you, I think it was last Wednesday, that this root out of a dry ground is called Nazareth. And it was a prophetic word for the Lord Jesus. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Who remembers last Wednesday? Last Wednesday. Fantastic. So, it's a root out of a dry ground. He has no form of comeliness when we shall see him. There's no beauty we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of man. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. As it were, we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteem him not. Surely, now please notice, follow me. All these things was done by him. What was the end? What was the benefit for which he grew up, for which he was despised, and so on? Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Now verse 5. Why did he have to go through all this? The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Ladies and gentlemen, I came to announce to you that everything that the enemy brought into your life by reason of the offense of Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ has fully paid for it all in the name of Jesus. Surely he has borne our grief, taken our sorrow. He was wounded for your transgression, bruised for your iniquities, and so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me. The root of every human suffering on earth today is sin. Everybody say sin. I can't hear you say sin. The root of every suffering of humanity, the root of every problem man is going to emanates from the subject matter of sin. The moment man fell, problem started. Suffering started. Genesis chapter 3 gives us all the details. God began to curse him. He says, you will eat. Curse is the ground for your sake. Genesis 3, all the way from verse 17. Curse is the ground for your sake. Out of thorns and thistles will bring it forth to you. And you will eat the herbs. Instead of eating better food, you will be eating herbs from the field. In the sweat of your face, you will eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shall be. Ladies and gentlemen, so when the Lord Jesus finally came, guess what? For every pronouncement God made at the time man fall, Jesus intentionally, from the time that he was in the Garden of Eden, where the Bible recorded that the sweat that came out of his body were like dropsless of blood, Jesus began to bleed. He began to bleed. And listen to this, gentlemen. When the Bible recorded, when Luke, it was Dr. Luke, who actually gave us that account about him sweating blood. Because Luke was a medical doctor, and Luke knew by medical science that it was possible for a man to go to a particular level of intensity of agony that literally his sweat will become like blood. But the question is not whether what Jesus went through. The question was, why did he have to go through it? Please, everybody look up here. The intention of the Lord was that Jesus, having been through Gethsemane. Gethsemane is a place of crushing. Gethsemane is called the word Gethsemane means that it's like, I've forgotten the name they call it now, something like the wine press. It's a place for crushing. And Jesus went through all that so that in the course of your redemption, you will not be crushed by life. You will not be crushed by situation. That everything that would have made you to shed unnecessary blood, you will not have to shed it any longer. And I came to prophesy to somebody, by his sacrifice, your life will not crush you. Circumstance will not crush you. Situation will not crush you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Shout amen, somebody. The Bible says they put a crown of thorns on his head. The thorn was the cause of thorns and thistles that will come upon him. That was caused, that the cause that was placed in Genesis chapter 3. It was the cause of poverty. But Jesus put that same cause on his head so you will reign in life and not have to go through your life in penury and poverty. And can I declare over you, everything that brings poverty in your family, in your life, by the sacrifice, I declare it is over in the name of Jesus. I said it is over in the name of Jesus. That curse is broken in the name of Jesus. The curse is broken in the name of Jesus. Listen to this. Listen to this. They put nails on his hand. Why did they put nails on the hand? They pierced his hand with nail. Why? The Bible says so that the works of your hands will be blessed. Psalms chapter 1. As a tree planted by the rivers of water. It says, whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever his hand touch will prosper. Can you stretch your two hands in front of you as I prophesy over you? Your works, the works of your hands will be blessed. I said everything that your hand touch will be blessed. Nothing will die in your hand. Nothing will be small in your hand. Nothing will disappear in your hand. Everything grows in your hand. Everything you touch will succeed. I said it will succeed. Marriage will succeed. Business will succeed. Academics will succeed. No child will die in your hand. No business will die in your hand. No vision will die in your hand. Everything you touch will prosper. In the mighty name of Jesus. They drove nails through his legs. Why did they do that? So that the steps of a good man will be ordered by God. So that as a reason of the fact that Jesus was bled from his leg, you will no longer go the wrong way. You will no longer end in the wrong marriage. You will not do the wrong business. You won't travel to the wrong country. You will not carry your own leg and walk into debt, or walk into trouble, or walk into a police case, or walk into a situation that will jeopardize your life. You will not use your leg and enter the vehicle that will take you to accidents. Neither will you use your leg and go and enter the plane that will crash. I prophesy over you, because his legs were pierced, you will never go the wrong place. I say your leg will not carry you to death. Your leg will not carry you to trouble. Your leg will not carry you to the wrong place. It will not put you in the wrong marriage. It won't take you to the wrong destination. You will not relocate to the wrong country. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says that they plucked off the beard from his face. And if you read Isaiah's account, they actually did it with their bare hands. And in plucking off the beard from his face, Jesus actually bled from all over his face. Everybody say face. I can't hear you say face. For the last time, say face. Why did they do that? It was an intention, because this man was a very handsome man, very good looking man. So when they began to pluck all the beard from his face, their whole desire was that they would deface him and they would disfigure him. The whole intention was anything to make this man, anything to discredit him, anything. The Bible says, the prince of this world came to me, found nothing in me. Every way he was tempted, they couldn't find it. So at the point of crucifixion, they were doing everything in the world that they were used to discredit him. But guess what? Even that did not change anything. Can I prophesy to somebody? As he was disfigured, your life will never be disfigured. Your destiny will never be disfigured. I declare over you, no man will be able to corrupt your destiny. No man will be able to tamper with your future. Everything God has ordained for you, God will give to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said they pierced his side. And when they did so, the Bible said blood and water came out of his side. Ladies and gentlemen, please look up here. In piercing his heart, the doctors actually recorded that the blood and water came from a ruptured heart. Is anybody hearing me? That when they pierced his heart, it was from a ruptured heart. Why did they do that? So that all through your life, nobody will break your heart. Can I prophesy over somebody? You will never find yourself in a situation that will break your heart in the name of Jesus. I don't care whether it's a relationship. I don't care whether it's business. I don't care what it is. I decree and declare over you, nothing will break your heart. Nothing will destroy your heart. Listen to this. There are people who went through one experience in life. From that one experience, they turned around and became spiteful, hateful, resentful, and they never recovered from it. There are people who became bitter as a result of one experience and never recovered from it. But I declare concerning you, grace to survive every affliction. Grace to survive every trial. Nothing will break your heart. Nothing will break your heart. Nothing will change you to a bad person. Nothing will turn you into a nightmare. Nothing will change you into a terrible person. I declare, no matter how terrible the experience is, you will survive it in the name of Jesus. I said you will survive it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the most painful one was that the Bible told us they took 40 stripes. And when they took those stripes, they removed one, making it 39. Use that one to wrap the remaining 39. And the Bible says those stripes, they were not ordinary cane as we know them to be. They were leather whips, at the head of which they have broken bottles and broken bones. And when they lift it up and they give him whap, it's 39 strokes in one. 39 strokes in one. Is anybody hearing me? If you watch the Passion of Christ, that was just an attempt of man to capture what happened on that day. That was not even enough. It was worse than what you saw in the Passion of Christ. The Bible says when you look at him, there was no beauty to behold him. For every whip, as they dragged that leather cane, 39 put together, blood, flesh, water, flesh was coming out of him. The Bible says he was wounded for your transgression. It was bruised for your iniquities. The Bible says this chastisement of his peace was because of you, so that you will have peace all the rest of your life. I came to prophesy over somebody going through a situation of pain, going through a sickness in your life. See, when Peter was recalling the same incident, Peter said, by whose stripes ye were healed. Peter was referring to your healing in the past tense. Why? Because no man can go through all this for you and you still remain in sickness. Can I prophesy over you? In the name that is above every other name, I judge every sickness in your body. I judge every sickness in your body. I curse every sickness to die in the name of Jesus. I curse every sickness to die in the name of Jesus. I declare by stripes you are healed. By stripes you are healed. By stripes you are healed. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can I hear a loud amen, somebody? No wonder Paul was writing in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. He said, giving thanks unto the Father that has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He said, who has delivered us. That's where I'm going to. Verse 13. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Can I declare over you, you have been... That's why I told you, I said, come on Saturday, because there are some things you want to deal with on Saturday that will affect your family very significantly in the positive direction. You don't want to miss Saturday's prayer meeting. He says, why did you do all these things? Paul was trying to tell us. He said, for who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of our dear Son. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Gentlemen, you have been delivered. I said you have been delivered. For the last time, I said you have been delivered. My God, I said you have been delivered. You know the sad part about this one is that, this truth is that, hurt is aware of it. Hell is aware of it, but most believers are not aware of it. So most believers still live their lives like they're still under bondage and under captivity. That is why this evening and all through the rest of this month, I'm going to be speaking on the subject matter of discharge and acquitted. Pastor, so if you say that we are actually delivered, how come people are still under bondage even though they are in church? I mentioned three things and I'm out of your face. Number one is ignorance. Everybody say ignorance. Put my slide, say ignorance. Everybody say ignorance. You know the Bible says in Hosea 6:4, it says, my people are destroyed for the lack of what? I can't hear you, for the lack of what? Now everybody look up here. Listen to this. The devil is called the prince of the power of darkness. Am I correct? Jesus is called the light of the world. The devil's strength is in your darkness. It's in your ignorance. And what you don't know is bigger than you. Are you with me, somebody? Talk to me. Are you with me, somebody? And there are lots of people who they may be in church, but don't know their inheritance and their rights. So a lot of them have come to settle for wherever they find themselves, not knowing that their life is supposed to be a life of reigning. Why? Because they've been discharged and acquitted. Just imagine a man who has already gone to court and the judge has already said discharged and acquitted. And from the court, he returns back to prison and says, you know what? Let's just remain like this as we are. As long as, you know what, we'll just be managing life like this and so on. No. A million times no. You're from that point where you were discharged, your portion is to return back to the freedom and the liberty of your normal life, not to return back to where you've always been. Can I declare over somebody, your days of captivity have come to an end. Your days of bondage have come to an end. And you will walk in truth and in light in the mighty name of Jesus. The second thing that keeps people in bondage, even though they've been set free, is called rejection of pardon. Rejection of pardon. Even though God has set you free, guess what? You can still reject your pardon. You can still reject your pardon. I don't have time to talk about it, but I've seen a lot of beggars. How many of you know that, you know, there was something I did during one of my birthdays. I said I was going to get, you know, you just keep trying life and keep trying life. I said I was going to get a lot of, you know, those kids that beg on the streets. I said I'm going to get them off the streets on one of my birthdays. And I went for a training in Lagos, you know. I like to do things thoroughly. So I went for training in Lagos where I was going to kind of go and get trained on how to get people off the streets. And one of the major training I went through, they called me and said, Pastor, don't waste your time. If you want to send people to school, just go to those who are in the slums, in their houses, and send them. He said, if you want to take people off the street, see these people in the streets? They are multimillionaires. None of them want to leave the streets. Not one of them is going to respond to you. They will collect your money. They will eat your money. The next day, they will return back to begging. Are you still there, somebody? I will never forget many years ago when Deeper Life, I was still in Deeper Life at the time, we did a crusade in Akure, and there's this particular beggar man. The man is blind. So his neighbors had gone for the first day of the crusade. People's eyes were open. Miracles happened. So they came to call him and say, go follow us the next day. The man said, me, follow you people. God forbid. They said, no, the man of God is very powerful. Blind eyes open. The other lame are walking and so on. The man said, when he opened my eye, will you give me food? Are you still there, somebody? Come on, talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, believe me. You know the reason why Jesus asked, I don't know what I was a blind man, he asked. And he said, do you want to be healed? You know why I asked that question? Not every beggar wants to be healed. For most beggars, it's a source of livelihood. There are hundreds and hundreds of people who are in bondage who don't want to be free. Because, you see, that captivity has become an ATM machine. They gain sympathy. They have a lot of people who are doing GoFundMe for them. Eh? And for them, it has become a perpetual source of livelihood. So many people don't want to be healed. Are you still there, somebody? Finally, ladies and gentlemen, there are many people who will never, ever be free. Why? Because freedom is not given, it's enforced. Are you with me, somebody? Freedom is never given anywhere. Freedom must be enforced, must be enforced, must be enforced. Listen, long after Abraham Lincoln announced the end of slave trade, I hope you know slavery continued like nothing happened until Martin Luther King came out and began to talk and sacrifice his own life on top of it. Until tomorrow, they are still trying to enforce freedom inside America. They are still not completely free. Am I correct? Please talk to me. Am I correct? See, freedom is like a check. You can carry a check of 1 million and still die of hunger. Am I correct? Until you go to the bank and cash the check. Liberty and freedom must be enforced until it is enforced. I told you last Sunday, forever, oh Lord, your word is settled where? Not on earth. Not on earth. The word is not settled on earth. Until you settle it, until you enforce it, until you download it, until you insist on it. Are you hearing me, somebody? So this is why I said come on Saturday. I want to deal with issues on Saturday. Want to take issues on your family and slog it out until people are free to get married and stay in marriage and be happy in marriage and give birth to children and build houses and travel overseas and live a good life. You are being called to reign and you will reign in the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I came tonight to announce to you, you have been discharged and acquitted. You have no, see, you should live your life as though there was never a first Adam, there's only a last Adam. You should live your life so conscious of your liberty in God that you say to yourself, I don't care the background I'm coming from. I don't care what others have been through. I made up my mind. If nobody wants to enjoy their liberty, I have been discharged and acquitted, and I will reign in life. Say a loud amen, somebody. Shout a loud amen, somebody. Listen to this. Nobody will enforce your liberty like yourself. Nobody will insist on the life, on the good life for you than yourself. Nobody will take ownership for your best, your destiny, like you would do for yourself. You've got to make up your mind in this season of Easter. One man brought us into captivity, but one man has liberated us from captivity. I will reign in life by that one man. Rise on your feet. Let us pray. Rise on your feet. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Lift up your two hands. Say, Father, I thank you. I can hear you say, Father, I thank you. Because I've been discharged. I've been acquitted. No more guilt. No more condemnation. For all my sins. For all the rubbish I did. For all my past. No more condemnation. God did not just cover it. The blood wiped it away. I stand today completely discharged and acquitted in the name of Jesus. Therefore, I declare, in the name of Jesus, no more sickness, no more captivity, no more bondage, no more pain, no more poverty. Everything that held me bound, everything that held me captive, I break free from them. I announce to heaven, I announce to earth, I announce to hell, I announce to all my enemies, I have been discharged and acquitted, and my portion is to live the good life, to reign in life in Christ Jesus. Begin to thank the Lord tonight and give him praise.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.